Mate, you come to town, they'll treat you like a king.
You'll
get the burger, you'll get the chips, you'll get the soda, you'll get the hot dog, and you get the
and
special.
I bet you'll get it all, and I'll get the bill.
Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to finals time in the WNBL and the NBL. It's been a fantastic week. Hello, Botong, my friend.
Hello, how are you? It's been very exciting and very surprising. Big news, of course, today. We should cover today's news straight away.
Go for it. You can say it. I know the bloke. I'll leave it to you.
Well, he's looking for an assistant, but apparently Brian Gorgian has been appointed as the Sydney Kings coach for the next three seasons, which was no huge surprise to any of us. Realistically, that was as soon as he made himself available. And Mahmoud Abdul Fattah, actually, we've been mispronouncing that surname. It's actually Mahmoud Abject Failure. That's the correct pronunciation. Once he was gone, it was really obvious that Brian was going to be the man. And I'm sure we're also going to see Billy Tomlinson back in action and probably Jacob Jackermas as well.
I'd be surprised if Jacob's there, I'll be honest. I'm not sure if that will happen. But I know, well, Billy T was obviously my coach as well when I played for the Kings, have a great relationship with him. And I'd be shocked if he's not back there. He's literally been with Billy nearly everywhere he went.
Yep.
All over China, obviously the last one in the Hong Kong, that one that was there. There was talk, obviously, if Adelaide came off, he was going to be there as well. So I'd be absolutely, he will be the assistant. I'd be shocked if he's not.
I'm shocked that Billy coached you at Sydney because he's really famous for winning a championship with the Sydney Flames. Is that when you were playing for him?
Yeah, good one. Ching, ching. So he did win the Flames, and then it was 1997, Alan Black walked out with a year left on his contract, and I still remember it to this day. I'm sitting there at weights, and I'm lifting, and Bruce Bolden and I are talking, and we see Mike Robleski, God bless his soul, walk in with Bill Tomlinson, and knew nothing, hadn't had a call from the coach, knew nothing, and he said, right, Alan's left, he's gone to Perth, and Bill's your new coach. And I was like, wow. Shane Heal was in the squad. He hadn't returned yet because that was the year after he finished with the Minnesota.
Right.
So hang on. This was 98, sorry, not 97. 96 and 97 was Alan Black. 97, Shane was in the NBA for Minnesota. Then 98, he came back and Billy came in, and that was the season we went through eight different imports. It was a huge season. Yeah. And I think that was Adelaide year, by the way, from memory.
So quickly, you've got a breaking story as well.
I do.
All right. Well, you've forgotten, but it's Paddy Mills. He's signed with the Miami Heat after a week.
I thought you were going to say Paddy Mills with the Sydney Kings. Yes. Well, yes.
I think people were predicting that, actually.
Yeah, no, look, it's great for Paddy Mills. The bottom line is we, and when I say we, because we all love Paddy and we're all Australian and we all love him, we need him to be playing. And I think this is a good fit for him. I'm so glad he's out of Atlanta. They didn't appreciate what he does for a team. So good riddance to Atlanta. Awesome for Paddy. And let's hope he plays in Miami because they could do with him and they're fighting for a playoff spot. So let's hope that's a good situation. So big things, but let's move straight
just
on to the W.
Before we move off Paddy, there's a fantastic book still in the bookstores, Paddy Mills Beyond Basketball. It's in all reputable bookstores and in a couple of them a little bit shonky.
All of them shonky, but fantastic book. I agree with you. So as someone that has read that, I absolutely loved it. Well done.
Thank you.
So,
all right,
moving on, WNBL. Well, sat here a week ago and I said, oh, look, I can't see anyone but the Boomers and Townsville being in the grand final. And from memory, I said, well, that means Perth and Southside will be in because I get it completely wrong. Well, I got 50% right in the other games today. Let's start that, Body, in what is no question a shock. Townsville go out 2-0 against Perth.
Especially a shock because they were feeling very confident about their chances having swept Perth during the season.
Yeah.
But what you got to bear in mind was that Perth's best player is their import, Ari McDonald, and she was injured for, I think, pretty much all of those games. So she's a huge factor. Her return has just changed them around. Winning once
a
they
huge
win in
factor.
Town,
She had 27 and 26. Yeah, not a bad factor.
Yeah, not bad. So beating them in Townsville was huge. I thought if they don't get them in Perth, then I think they're shot, because going back to Townsville, I reckon that would have been different. But they were in control of that game. And look, Brad, did you see the final score?
108-102 and 87-88.
Yeah, but how many times does a women's team score 102 and lose?
I know.
So it was a classic game to watch, and you can still probably find it on Nine now. If you haven't seen it, it's a high-quality game.
It was a very, very good game.
As was the Boomers levelling their series with Southside with an 88-67 win, and that is on top of Penina Davidson being out, Sarah Blitzard's now being out for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
And needing back surgery. So I think Paris Olympics are probably off the table as well.
You know, I mean, I don't have to say she's your favourite, but she's our favourite. I'll put it down there. And to her, our love and thoughts are with you. And you'll come back bigger and stronger. We know it. But, Boddy, let's go straight into the game tonight, our time. And we did hold this pod back an extra day because we wanted to get all the news out to everyone. So, who you got tonight? Can the Boomers, in my opinion, they will beat Southside, but can Southside, in your opinion, beat the Boomers?
Well, I hope you're right, because I think there's three teams that the people not from their cities don't like to see win, and that is Townsville now. They're really popular in Townsville, but the rest of the league ain't quite as happy about them. Sydney, who missed the playoffs after stacking that team, and Southside, who are also stacked. And so when they go out, I think everybody's pretty happy about that, because, you know, there's a lot of money spent on those teams, and then there are other clubs like Adelaide Lightning, for example, that would be struggling financially, Canberra, et cetera. Mm. So I would love to, from a personal standpoint, I'd love to see Melbourne win. Mm. However, if Melbourne was to win, that means this is the very last time we're seeing Lauren Jackson in action.
Well,
it's the Thomas Abercrombie scenario, isn't it?
Yeah.
This great career comes to an end, because she said she's not going to the Olympics unless Basketball Australia has found a way to talk her around. Because of that, I think Lauren's going to play out of her skull, as she did against Canada in the bronze medal playoff.
But do you think this will be her last? She's just had 21 and 20 in back-to-back games. Right. And now I don't know what the third game is going to bring, but you would expect it to be a bronze medal, you know, World Cup finale. Yes. Mate, I could just, why not keep going?
Because as Rachel Sporn once told me, the season after she'd retired, when the Lightning was struggling, they were ringing her up and wanting her to come back. And she said, that's when you know you've retired at the right time, when people still want you. You don't want to play that extra season where people are going, oh, gee, I went a little too long.
But I don't think you could ever say that about Lauren. Like, she's already retired. It's about love for her. I can understand not Olympics and campaigns with young boys and all of that. You've mentioned that before, and I completely, total respect for that, because as we know, a two-week Olympic program is a three-month program or whatever that may be, right, away and travels and everything. But, you know, with this little thing, I don't know, I just know she does it for the love. If her body doesn't want it, that's a different thing. But I don't think someone like her, this is not doing it for winning. This is doing it because I love the game. I love being around the girls, and I want to help the sport and give back. So I'm not convinced this will be her last game, but I hear what you're saying.
I'm just thinking, if they were to be eliminated and she doesn't go to the Olympics and she doesn't want to, you know, take an NBL One East, that's New South Wales, isn't it? NBL One East?
Yeah.
If she doesn't want to do that, then this is the last time we see her. So because there's the potential of that, I just think she's going to be great. And when she's great, she's the greatest.
Yeah,
so
she'll be great.
That's why I think Southside wins. That's why
obviously the MVP Canada needs to go to work. She had 21. In that 20-point win.
20-point win, mate. That was amazing. That's without Sarah and without Penina. They're two tallest players.
Yeah, no, you're right. Naz Hillman was great, Canada. I thought Keely Froling only had 12 points, but I thought her presence was great.
She was really good.
Yep. Yeah. Anyway, All right, so who you got tonight? We'll go straight in. I've got Boomers winning it. Who you got?
No, I've got to lean to Southside for the reasons we've discussed. But, I mean, personally, I'd like to see the Boomers win, but that's what that's worth is pretty much nothing. Who is your...
Not coming from you, but I agree. Hey, listen, can I just give a little bit of a shout-out to the Wollongong Hawks fans? Because I was down there...
Is that an NBL 1 East team?
I was going to say in Wollongong, the Hawks fan, but I wrapped it all in one. Just the amount of people, like, loving the Brad and Body show. Absolutely.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah,
oh,
I was getting good. A lot of feedback, so it was really good. I mean, it was my mum and my dad and my son, but it was relatives. Still really, yeah. really
good. Don't forget Warren. He's always very big on the show.
Okay. All right, let's move on to the Sydney Kings. Because that's what we're going to talk about now, but we'll go to the NBL. But let's talk Sydney Kings. Obviously, I just want to say to you, I love the fact, and I'm going to go straight into my Rosen Rattler, right?
Good. Excellent.
And I am giving it to the Sydney Kings, but this way, I love that they dealt with what was a shamble season in 48 hours. And I will give them that as my Rattler. Yes, it was a crappy season. Yes, they've literally, without owning up, saying, this is shit. We didn't want it. We didn't like it. Mahmood, don't care if you've got a second year. Don't know what the terms were. Don't know if they paid him out. Who cares? See you later. And we're going for a new coach, right? And I love that for a number of reasons. One, you're now saying to any disgruntled player, like an Angus Glover, if they want you back, mate, don't worry about that. That's gone. Two, they're saying to all the imports, you're not getting away with what you got away with this year, right? Because there's a lot of talk of, you know, laziness and not doing this, right? Yes. Three, it's saying to guys like a Jordan Hunter who is out of contract and everything like that, hang on a second, let's just get this new coach in play. And four, and probably the most important one, anyone that they want to recruit. Right, anyone that we want to recruit. And it would not surprise me to see a Xavier Cooks back in the NBL, right? Because that would be something where it's like, right, Gorge, come in, get it done, get your people, do it, away you go. Billy T, you'll run the preseason. It's been done before. That's fine. Gorge will have this set 1 to 10, what he wants done. No questions about that. But my Rosen Rattler goes to Sydney Kings for not sitting on their hands that a lot of clubs do and don't say anything and we don't want to step on toes and we're not sure what's going to happen. Yeah. No, bang, hit them with a cricket bat and out they come. I've got to say, I did like that.
Yeah, and I like your Rattler, but I would say this to you, though. The fact that they move so swiftly, Brad, surely shows us as independent of the club that they had been thinking about it for a little while. That 55-point win over Phoenix just sort of was a stay of execution, yeah.
Mate, I heard that there was rumours 8 weeks ago they wanted to get rid of him, and they're probably looking back now regretting it. But in one way, maybe they're not regretting it because maybe who knows what would have happened 8 weeks ago. You know what I mean?
Opinion only, and that's all you can give me. If they had put Fleur in, would they still be alive in the playoffs 8 weeks ago? Or do you think that there was so much going on behind the scenes?
As a yes or no answer, I've got to say no. And the reason I say that, she's a fabulous coach, but I think that was just too much to unveil. There's too much in there. It's too deep. Okay. And ironically, I don't know if that would have been the right thing, knowing that she's leaving anyway. I don't know. But that's an interim thing. I don't know. Good question. Hard to answer, to be honest.
And New Zealand was absolutely sensational in knocking them out. They were terrific. And I thought the same again against Illawarra. I thought that was one of the cracker games of the apps of the whole season. That was just a gem. That last quarter, I don't know if you realise, you probably did, but you were engaged in the game. There were 10 lead changes in the last quarter. 10. Mate, and they were tied twice.
I can tell you, after the game, I got like a 5-minute walk back to the car and my son came down with me. I was exhausted. I was absolutely exhausted. I actually felt like I played a game. The intensity, like we were sitting courtside. At the Kings, it doesn't feel like you're that close to what we were at Illawarra the other night. Literally, Modi is sitting on top of us, right? Because we're right down that bench. I had Nathan Sobey sitting next to me, you know, on one side. It was just unbelievable, buddy. I hadn't felt an atmosphere like that. The gong was going nuts.
5,000 plus.
It was just phenomenal, and the atmosphere in there, and the you could feel everyone riding every basket, every emotion. It was just a flat out game, man. I loved it,
and I love the fact that New Zealand is able to dig deep when you're down Anthony Lamb. You know Cheatham's on one leg. You know Finn Delaney's back is bad. You know Will McDowell's shoulder is bad. And then he does his ankle. And they're still in the game. But conversely, Illawarra, you know that Gary Clark's not 100%. There's no way he's 100% the way he's going. You know, and in that game, I don't know that you noticed, because if you did, and you mentioned it, I missed it, but Tyler Harvey went down and got subbed out, came back with his right wrist taped. And he really wasn't shooting that well after that point. So they were really sort of carrying a couple of guys themselves. Lockie Oldbrick, I think, was a bit overcome by the occasion. So his couple of minutes were expensive. That is. But I'm saying that the Hawks also, it's not like there were, well, there's all this adversity for New Zealand, poor old Breakers, but there was some for the Hawks as well.
Well,
to produce that quality of game was amazing.
Just to give it to you, we'll just go very briefly. Todd Blanchfield played 7 minutes. Hung Jung Lee played just under 14, Mason Peatley 11, and then they had Swaka 22, Justin Robinson 23, Will Hickey 22, then it was Tyler 30, 30, and 30 for Frolling. Like everyone logged long minutes, long minutes, and long and hard minutes. Jackson Parker Cartwright played 39 minutes and 8 seconds. He was literally out of the game once for 52 seconds. It's just, you know, Zylan Cheatham, 35 on one leg. It's just, it was a phenomenal game, mate. It really was. And you just felt like it was a heavyweight championship where you just kept hitting someone and they kept coming back, both teams. You couldn't get anywhere.
What I did think was that if New Zealand had won that they wouldn't, that they're done, that they're walking wounded, they wouldn't have been able to bother Melbourne very much at all. Whereas Illawarra, I know they've got a couple of guys hobbled at the moment too, but they've got a few days to get them right. And over a three-game series, I give them a chance against United. Whereas had New Zealand won that game, I think the United would get it 2-0. So we're in a better place in terms of the finals. And Tasmania against Perth is going to be an absolute ripper series too.
Well, let's talk about that one now. Was there a more dominant centre that you've seen in the league since Mark Bradke? That's how far I'm going back, than what Will Magnay did? Think of one, tell me if I'm wrong. I just cannot remember. Will Magnay, that was unbelievable. 25 points, 10 rebounds.
I mean, the situation was you lost Marcus Lee in the pretty much in the opening seconds of the game.
22 seconds, buddy. Yeah, he played 22. Yep.
Is he playing on Friday?
Look, they say that he's still 50-50. My gut feeling will be yes, but that's just pure gut.
Okay. So, I mean, so really that kind of worked in their favour maybe? Maybe it was an accident because we've got to play Will a bit more. And so he got more of the flow of the game. And geez, he was dominant and scary in the key way. He was really terrorising people, not just blocking shots but changing others.
Yeah.
I got to say, just on the subject of Australian centres, I think with Isaac Humphries – we had Scotty Nunes on the program last week saying that Isaac Humphries was a priority signing. With him signing with the 36ers, I think Geordie Hunter's a much better chance of staying now in Sydney, because I think Sydney was the option that Isaac was looking at. And we have got some good Australian centres, but Magnay, on that performance, if he could do that on a week-in, week-out basis, he'd be a candidate for the Olympic team.
I think I said it on air the other night in the pregame show, that he is the best centre in the league if he plays like that.
Yeah.
Right? No question. The problem is he doesn't play like – well, I shouldn't say the problem because that's not fair. He just hasn't done that game in and game out because of injuries, time, having other – whatever it may be. So very good. I thought Jordan Crawford was great. Jack McVeigh went to another level again, although I didn't like that little, you know, drop of the shoulder. That's WWE stuff.
That was
really that's
bad.
Not
– really bad.
That's the bit that is not him anymore. I mean, people say it's the old Jack McVeigh. I don't like using those words, but – you know, like I just felt, nah, Jack, you're better than that, mate. You're too good of a player to do that. But look, he was 26 and 11. Like, you know, brilliant game. Tasmania are going to beat Perth, mate. I think it will be a Melbourne-Tasmania grand final.
Well, here's the thing, though, that the only time that Tasmania beat Perth was late in this last round, I think, of the season, and Bryce Cotton wasn't playing. The two occasions that they played at RAC Arena, Perth won both of those, including the opening game where what's his name, went off for 35 points.
Usher, and
sort of, which I think changed his opinion of the league. He thought he was going to be MVP, and he went off the rails for quite some time. But I would like to see Tasmania win that again, because not because of anything against Perth, but they've been successful, 10 championships, and Tasmania zero. So, well, actually, no, not zero. Launceston Casino City back in 1981. But what I'm saying is this club has come from nothing.
Yeah.
It's not like Geelong in 82 when they came from something and made a grand final in their first season the way Tasmania did. Geelong already existed in the Seabull and the VBA. These guys started from nothing.
Yeah,
they didn't have a ball. I'd like to see them win for that.
It's a good point that you make. I look at the season that they've had, round 1, round 11 and round 20. They're the three times that they've played each other. Perth won the first two, like you said, and then lost the third. But they were close, you know, 1-6, 1-1, and then Tasmania 1-14. I just think Tasmania are just going to make Perth play for 40 minutes. If Tasmania can do that defense and clamp down and make everything as hard as they can with Bryce, that's where they get the win. But they're very good down
Perth. Okay, here's my question for you. Would you rather be in Illawarra's position and playing as opposed to Melbourne, who have been sitting, or Tasmania's position, who've been playing, as opposed to Perth, who've been sitting, given that we didn't just have a little bit of a finals
fever.
We had the fever window as well. So these guys haven't been on the floor for a while. Is that an advantage because, you know, you get over your niggly injuries, or is that a disadvantage because you're not in the cut and thrust the way these guys have
been? It's a good question. And I can say to our viewers, we didn't talk prior and talk about this. To me, it is an absolute no-brainer. It's better that you weren't playing.
Really?
You're niggling injuries. You've got two very good coaches that would have done enough, in my opinion, right? So, and then I'll wrap it with this: home games. You get two home games. There's no question. You might be a bit rusty coming out in the first quarter and everything, but you just got to be prepared. But, mate, at this stage of the season, to get 2 weeks off, you look at Tasmania, you know, you look at New Zealand walking wounded.
Yeah,
you look at Illawarra, like you said, they're on one leg, some of them. You look at Tasmania, don't even know if Lee's playing. Yes, it's big, but in a three-game series, if it was a one-off, I'd be having a different conversation. Mm-hmm. But in a three-game series, nah, I just can't see how that – it's better to not.
Okay, fair enough. That's why I asked you. You've been
involved. All right, so hang on. Let's just go. So who have you got? Melbourne?
I have got Melbourne, but I've got Melbourne, but if Illawarra won, I would not be greatly surprised. Like, I wouldn't fall out of my lounge chair.
But
Melbourne is just so deep, so consistent, so successful over a long period. You got to favour them. Absolutely. Yep. Regular season champs, coach of the year. There's reasons.
Just letting you know, Melbourne won all three against Illawarra this year. All right. Wow. 1-10, 1-12, and 1-5. So they're certainly up against it, Illawarra. And who you've got in the Perth Tasmania series, did you say? No?
I'm going to take Tassie. But okay. I'm not confident. But I mean, I like the fact that we've got coaches like Scott Roth, who's very smart. We've got Dean Vickerman and Justin Tatum, who were the two men I think that fought out the coach of the year.
Yeah.
And for mine, you know, I still like Justin, what he achieved.
Fair enough too.
And a lot of other people were talking about John Riley. So we've got isn't it interesting, Brad, with all this extra stuff with the extra games and the play-in and the you know, elimination qualifying, we end up with the same four teams that would have been in the semifinals had we not had that system.
But let's be honest, 5 and 6 squeezed in, right?
Yeah. And it was interesting right to the end. So I'm not knocking the system.
I'm just saying it's funny
that it ends up with the top four anyway.
And so it should when you look at it. I am going to go back and I so apologise to our listeners. I didn't get your player of the round of the WNBL. Can I just have that again?
Yeah,
sure. Not again.
Me, it was Naz Hillman because we got excited about Justin Robinson, how he went to the foul line. He made 14 out of 14.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's pressure free throw shooting. Naz Hillman in Melbourne's victory over Southside to force a decider, she was 15 out of 15 from the free throw line. You know, like I looked at her final score and I thought she was 3 of 3 from the floor. I thought, had she scored 26 odd points or something? Yeah. I thought, there it is.
There it is.
15 out of 15.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So she was mine.
I got Ari McDonald. Yeah, I got Ari McDonald. 27 and 26. I thought she was brilliant for Perth.
Fantastic.
So that's good. So let's move on. Can I have your best moment of the NBL, please?
My best moment, I really think, was just the entirety of the Illawarra New Zealand game. I just thought it was so exciting. So it was such a that was a real highlight. That's the sort of game that the league can promote overseas and go, look, this is our league, and you go, wow, that is pretty special.
Love
so
that.
So what about you? What about yourself?
Look, my best moment is Dave O'Hickey, and I can pick probably 10 of them. I love the kid. I've had a lot to do with him. He's done it the tough way. Had to go to, development players through Melbourne, play NBL one, wasn't playing at the beginning of the season, couldn't get on. Yeah. And look at him. He started the other night in what was a shock. Yeah.
Was it though? Because I thought it was really smart, given that New Zealand was starting Parker Jackson, Cartwright, Will McDowell, White, and Isaiah Lee.
Yeah, but hang on, I agree with you, buddy. But then when you look at it, well, then wouldn't you start Justin Robinson, your NBA point guard? What I'm saying is it was a chance.
He's coming off the bench. He's doing really well.
I'm not saying it's wrong, but I'm just saying hadn't started all year. There's so many options. He could have started, Lee, like he's done before, but I know the point guard thing. Could have started Todd Blanchfield in 400. You just don't know. There's so many options, and I just
That's why they paid the big bucks, Brent.
Correct. And for him to start him was one thing, but this kid is jumping out of bounds. He's getting offensive rebounds. He's blocking shots from behind. He is just a joy, is a perfect word to say. I am so happy for him. Can I say a bit of a shout out to our friend Mon Conti, who was messaging me through the game going, how about our boy? And I just love it. And obviously because they're partners. And
you know who he reminds me of? He reminds me of as a player. If you could have an offensive version of Damian Martin, it's Dave O'Hickey.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, good point. All right, let's move on. And your Nodge Nasty, please.
Well, that just relates. I've said this before, and I've actually been asked by people to say it, but I have said it before. You cannot, during a live telecast, go to replays during live action. Go to replays when they're walking to the free throw line. Go to replays when they're going to the timeout, whatever. But don't do it while the action is live. The amount of times you miss something and you come back and, the crowd's roaring, something's happened, and now we've got to find other footage. It just annoys the hell out of me. These people envy and WNBL, you've been doing it long enough. Get that right. That's it. That's all.
Okay, fair enough. My Rosen Rattler.
You already gave it. You said it was the Sydney Kings.
Good.
You want two Rosen Rattlers.
Who's your player of the round for the NBL? I think we're going to match here.
I think Justin Robinson, because I've been critical of him. I would have been happy to see him released halfway through the season. I thought he was an anchor on that team, dragging him back. And he certainly stood up. I thought it was his comments post game to Matty Russell about how great he was pretty entertaining too.
Well, I loved it because I just thought he said it was. I thought you were going to go PJC for his game against the Kings and he's yelling at Derek Rucker. But
That's good.
Yeah, but I can't go against Justin Robinson. That was an outstanding game to go 14-14, and it was a good job. Mate, thank you to all our listeners. Thank you very much. This will get out. Go for a great game tonight, obviously Melbourne Boomers versus Southside. The NBL starts tomorrow. It is a beautiful time of the year, my friend.
Yes,
your last words, please.
Goodbye.
Have a great week, all. See you next time. Hey, buddy, I'm not sure if you know this, but Brian Gorgian signed on as the Sydney Kings. And I don't know, did you know I was an assistant coach with him back in the day?
Oh, my God, it's like a stuck record, isn't it? It's just a stuck... Those of you that are still listening, please help me. Bombard this man on social media. Say, we've had enough. You think that was worth recording? Jesus.